Joining us in studio this morning is Paul Sullivan, who is the CEO of Clan Credo. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Now, Paul, Clan Credo, what is it, first of all?
Basically, we're a social investment fund. We were set up in 1996 for two reasons. One, to provide loan finance in the main to community groups, voluntary groups,
right,
and charities that might have difficulty in accessing it from mainstream financial institution. And the other reason was to provide an opportunity for I suppose for charities themselves to put some of their money to work in a way that is aligned with what they're about. So we raised over 10 million euro from over 20 different religious congregations. They lend the money to us and we then lend it on to other charities. And in the meantime, we also get loan finance from the banking sector through the Social Finance Foundation.
Right. It is a social initiative. So yes. Who came up with the idea? Who decided that this was necessary?
It was our founder, Sister Magdalene Fogarty. She was the bursar of the presentation order. And she said herself, like a lot of people within religious life at the time, they were looking at how they were deploying their resources, where their people were, where the pot were being used with buildings. And she said, well, capital should also be put to work in a way that serves people's needs rather than just meeting its own needs.
Right, okay. So this was one of those great forward-looking religious, so to speak, like Sean Healy and Sister Stan.
That's in pretty much the same mold, yes.
Pretty much the same mold. Yeah. And so you had small beginnings. So where are you based?
We're based in Inchicore. And yes, our one of the first loans that we would have done would have been to Green Caps, just up the road from you here in Dublin Airport, which is went on to, it was a workers' co-op that was established within Dublin Airport. And over the years, we have, tried to meet the demand for loan finance from community groups and from the charity sector, to the extent that last year we approved almost 10 million worth of lending right around the country.
Right. Do you look into sort of, you know, the fiscal possibilities, so to speak? I mean, you're an investment bank, but do you work on the same principle as a normal lending bank, or are you more like a credit union?
We would not describe ourselves as a bank or a credit union.
Right.
Basically, we are a social enterprise that deals with in finance.
Right.
And what for us the first assessment that we do is to assess, is there a social outcome? Is there a social return? Is there a social good? Is there something that goes back into a community as a consequence of what's being proposed? Is it enhancing the lives of people? And if that's the case, then we look and see, can this money be, if we invest this money, is it capable of being repaid? Is there repayment capacity? For two reasons. One, the interest on that loan is what covers our overhead. We don't get any, and haven't ever received any funding from any statutory source. And secondly, as the capital comes back, that can then go back out to work again and again and again. So that's essentially what the model is to be able to recycle that capital constantly.
Yeah, no. The reason I asked whether you're sort of, functioning as like a lending bank or a credit union, credit unions, work far more with the community than the banks. But as you say, you must, although it isn't your prime concern, you must get some of that money back in order to be able to lend out again to other people who are looking for it.
Yeah, we must get all of it back.
Oh, all of it back.
Yes. I would have to say that when we work with groups to ensure that that the loans are repaid. I mean, as I was saying recently, I mean, a lot of community groups and social enterprises and charities are like any business. They're affected by the general state of the economy around them.
Right.
And some businesses fail. And I suppose so long as the difficulty is presented as a consequence maybe of bad luck, it may be bad timing, it may be because the market went, we will work with the groups to come back, to try and help that business get back on track. However, if the difficulties we're in is a consequence of bad faith, then we will deal with that appropriately as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Community groups, they are at the moment very badly hit due to government funding cuts, no jobs or anything like that coming on stream. You know, there's an embargo on hiring and that. Are you finding that they are coming to you in sort of greater numbers now than, say, maybe 5-6 years ago?
I think that, yes, the organisations and community groups are coming to us in greater numbers than they were 5 or 6 years ago. There are a number of reasons for that, and it varies depending on what part of the country you're dealing with. I suppose first of all is the in terms of credit, access to credit, because of the situation that the banks have found themselves in, and because of the access, normal access to credit, or certainly the free and ready access to credit that was there over the in years gone by, certainly those days are gone.
Right.
So a lot of community groups and voluntary groups would be coming to us because they find it difficult to access it from their bank, or more difficult than they did. The other reason that we've seen an increase in demand is particularly outside of the urban areas, where you have the rural development program, the what's called the leader program, that has a requirement that money is spent in advance and drawn down only when the invoices have been paid, and that requires a bridging component. Within the urban areas and within the Dublin areas in particular, what we're seeing is groups coming to us that are actually looking to put together a proposal or a business that will generate revenue for them and reduce their dependency on statutory or fundraising as being the way of covering their costs. So organisations looking to diversify into some activity that would actually make a profit, make a surplus, and that surplus and profit will go back to help support the basic organisation itself.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned rural Ireland, and I did see in press release, I don't know whether you're familiar with the actual press release, Abish Rule.
Yes.
Yeah, winner of the Tidiest Village or Tidy Town overall.
Yes, it not only did it win Ireland's Tidiest Town, but it went on then to Europe and won a gold medal in the European competition, Anton Floréal, I think it's called.
That was the very thing. I wasn't going to say it. I'd let you pronounce it. what was your involvement with that?
Sorry?
What was your involvement?
Our involvement with that? I suppose the main involvement in that were the people of Abishrule, who, there are 200 people there, and who have probably worked night and day over the last number of years, not just the last year. Our involvement was to help them to draw down some leader funding, which was this rural development programme that I spoke of. They came up with the idea put in place and refurbish a small green space and to put some sculpture pieces on it. But under the rules of that scheme, which is funded jointly by the Irish government and the European Union, the money has to be spent in advance.
Right.
We lent the money by way of a bridging loan so that they were able to get the work done, submit their invoices, draw the grant down and repay the loan.
Okay. Did you get a thank you as part of their speech when they won?
I understand there was a mention, all right, by the organisers when they went back home to Abbeyshrule, and they were delighted with themselves.
Right. You mentioned, Paul, that part of your funding, or a lot of your funding in the early days, came from religious orders. Their funds would be being depleted somewhat. So where do you see the future for Clan Credo? Where can you access more funding, should we say?
I suppose at, like any organisation, we have, it's not wise for any organisation to be dependent on any one particular source. So we have sought to diversify that. We've, as I said, there's diversification, so over 20 different religious congregations. Secondly, we would have been working very much for the establishment of the Social Finance Foundation, which raises capital from the banking sector, and it acts as a wholesaler lending to Clan Credo on a project-by-project basis.
Okay.
Currently, about of our total loan book at the end of last year of 17 million is funded about 50-50. And I think in time, certainly we would like to see a situation where maybe initially what they call in the investment world, knowledgeable investors, and it was basically people, high net worth people, would have the opportunity to be able to give something back without necessarily giving it away. In other words, they would lend or invest their money in a social investment fund, knowing that that money was going to deliver some positive social good, but maybe in with the option that maybe of in 5 years' time being able to have that capital repaid. Sure. That is something that we're working on at the moment to see if we can actually put an offering like that together.
Yeah. I mean, that would actually be pain-free philanthropy, wouldn't it?
That's one way of describing it, yes, yeah. I would argue with that, yeah.
Yeah.
But certainly, I would say it as where it fits in the philanthropy space. Yes, pain-free philanthropy is one way of describing it, not without its risk, obviously. But also, it would be maybe an entry, an easier way to enter philanthropy.
Yeah.
That you would get involved, get engaged, and as a consequence of that, maybe then go to full, you know, gift giving philanthropy.
Yeah, but as I say, as you say, it's a way of getting into the habit. It would mean that people of not huge net worth would be able to do something, you know, knowing that in 5 years' time, I'm not really going to be that much poorer.
Yeah,
you know, obviously I don't have money, so I don't know how they think. But as I say, to me, it looked like an option. Mm. Anyway, Paul, are you at liberty to discuss any of your current, clients or works that are going on?
I suppose part of the thing that we seek to do in terms of the area of transparency is that every organisation that borrows from us, they agree that they're willing to allow their names to be used.
And all right, okay.
On my way up here, a couple of vans from Fantastic on the road. I mean, they would have been an organisation that we would have received funding from Clan Credo loan finance on a number of occasions over the years.
And, okay.
And they're an extremely successful social enterprise, providing a fantastic service around. And we would have in the I suppose in things the day after the All-Ireland, the people in Donegal have an organisation there which they call the Blue Stack Foundation, which provides respite care for families of children with disability and special needs. So the Blue Stack Foundation identified a dwelling, a former guest house.
Right.
Which was ideal for them. So it, they bought it and now run it as a respite care. And they managed to do that, make that purchase with a loan, a mortgage that Clan Credo was able to give them.
Right. another sort of initiative is, I was reading, again in the press release, the MSc in Social Innovation. You must be quite proud of being behind that kind of scheme.
Well, we are. I mean, I would have to say that I suppose we have spent the last 4 or 5 years trying to get the whole issue of social enterprise and social innovation on a... to get it on the radar, so to speak. And we're involved with the Social Enterprise Task Force in order to do that. Now, the Ryan Academy in DCU deserve 99.9% of the credit in that they actually identified the opportunity there to actually provide a full master's course accredited by DCU in this area of social innovation, and not only upskill people that are working within the sector, but also is an opportunity to have real positive research done in relation to the sector that will hopefully strengthen it out into the future.
Right. And talking of the future, Clan Credo, are you still going to be sort of at the helm in another 10 years' time? And if so, what would you like your legacy to be?
I'm not sure that I'll be around in 10 years' time. And the last...
Well, no, when I say another 10 years, I would imagine it can be a quite onerous position.
It can be, but it's very enjoyable, it's very satisfying. And going around the country, seeing the positive outcomes that are there, that's a good thing to be able to look at and say, we've had some small part to play in that.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Paul O'Sullivan, who is the CEO of Clan Credo. We're delighted to put your name out there. Sorry, there was one question I wanted to ask. If people come to you, do they have to have sort of a fully budgeted proposal, or can you actually help in that realm as well?
Yeah, I suppose, first of all, if there are groups and organisations that are interested, please contact us. We're based in Inchicore. We have, our number is Dublin 400-2100. And we don't use an application form. So we will work with the documentation that any group has, and as for us, there are two things that need to be shown. One, that there is a positive social outcome, positive impact, in other words, doing something for the community, and secondly, that the loan can be repaid within a reasonable length of time.
Right. Okay. Well, look, Paul, many thanks for your time again. Look forward to talking to you sometime in the future.
Thank you very much.